Kia ora and welcome to the C Word Radio, the podcast for cancery people who want real conversations about cancer. I'm your host, Helen King. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find good podcasts. Well, hello, my cancery friends. If this is your first time with us, welcome. There is a whole library of episodes for you to go back and listen to, where you'll find stories from people just like you who've been impacted by cancer. Check out the show notes for links to past episodes. At the time of recording this, Tāmaki is still in level 4 lockdown. So if you are lucky enough to be in level 2, please enjoy some takeaways for us. Especially KFC. I'm not going to lie, I am missing fried chicken. And it's not just the idea of being able to go out and buy food, it's not cooking. Like, we have eaten so well, and I'm so grateful for that, but I just want to not have to cook. Anyone else with me on that one? Yeah, so fingers crossed we will be into level 3 soon and we can slowly resume a little bit more normality. September is Gynecological Cancer Awareness Month, and it's also childhood cancer, blood cancers, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, World Cancer Research Day, and the list actually goes on. I don't love awareness months, and I know that probably sounds weird given I have had breast cancer. I mean, the concept, yep, absolutely. We need to build awareness around what symptoms people need to look out for or what it's like to have cancer. But there is something that has been really bothering me about awareness months, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And that was until I read an article in the Spin-off, which I will link in the show notes. This was about Mental Health Awareness Week. The author explained that she feels that for mental health, it's actually gone well beyond awareness and things are so dire that what is needed in that space is action. And I actually think the same could be said about cancer and especially gynae cancers. Aotearoa New Zealand has appalling stats for gynae cancers, all of them. Our survival rate for ovarian cancer has not changed since the 70s. I'll give you a moment for that to sink in. And for Māori, all of those rates are worse. So my question is, do we actually need awareness weeks or do we need more action from those in charge to make a real difference to our cancer outcomes that impact half our population? I will leave a link to TalkPeach in the show notes. TalkPeach are an amazing charity who are trying to raise $50,000 this September. Tash Crosby has been on the podcast a couple of times and she does tireless work to get people to listen and to do more about gynae cancers. Right, that is enough of that. Today's episode is not me ranting, I promise. It is a gorgeous interview with a gorgeous woman who was diagnosed with cervical cancer last year in 2020 when she was just 28. Talita is a mama, a treasured partner, daughter and colleague. And we are lucky that she pushed to get her unusual symptoms checked because first time she went to the doctor, they sort of brushed her aside, but she kept going and she was eventually diagnosed with cervical cancer. This is Talita's story.
The first thing I noticed was the bleeding. That kind of got me a bit worried. In my video, I said that I was an irregular bleeder from when I first got my period, but it was a bit regular and it was a bit on off. So I was like, oh, this just seems normal. It's going to stop at some point, carry on, that kind of thing. And then I started to get like constant cramping. It just wouldn't go away. And I was like, oh, that's a bit strange. And then the pain just started getting worse and worse over the days. I was walking around work like I was 9 months pregnant. I had lower back pain. And yeah, the pain, yeah, just got worse and worse each day. I was going back and forth between doctors trying to figure out what the heck was going on.
But did it cross your mind at all that it could be cancer? Did you even enter the realm of possibility?
No. Like, I just thought at first, it was a very bad period. But then, yeah, like I said, as the days and weeks progressed, like, I definitely knew something was wrong. And then when I'd done the whole smear test and all of that and got those results back, I think that's when, I don't know, I just had this feeling, seems like it's going to be cancer. I just had the thought and feeling.
Oh, yes, I remember that as well. It's really weird, isn't it? Because I think we do know our bodies and we know what our periods are like, or we know what our breasts usually feel like and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I really relate to that in thinking, oh, your brain doesn't want to think it's cancer, but there's this little part of you that goes, yeah, this isn't right. There's something going on here that isn't okay.
Yeah, yeah. And even with the doctors and nurses saying, don't worry, it's fine. You know, just go for all the appointments.
Where were you when you heard those words, we're sorry, or it is cancer? Well,
I was actually at the appointment for the colposcopy unit. So I was booked in on the 14th to have a colposcopy done. But before that date, when was it? About the 9th of July, I ended up being admitted into hospital with severe pain. And they actually decided to do the biopsy when I was admitted into hospital. So I was actually going in on the 14th to find out the results. And we actually had to wait a little bit longer because they had only just started going over my tests. And the doctor was like, look, they're here waiting. Can you at least tell us something? So me, my mum and my partner walked into the room and she sat down and she said, look, sorry about it. It is cancer from what they can tell, but they're still testing, so we won't be able to tell you stage and all of that for a few more days.
Wow. It's a surreal moment, isn't it? Even as you're saying that, I just think, oh, it's such a... I've described it to other people where it's that weird moment where it's almost like this rush in your head and everything feels silent. And and I guess it's shock, and you having your mum and your partner there. How were they? What were their reactions when you're sitting with the doctor finding out that it's cancer?
We were all sitting there a bit like dumbfounded. Like I looked at them and they just big eyed, mouth open. We hear that, right? And then for me to hear it, it was like, I was right. Like it is cancer. And then I had my little cry, which made my partner cry, and my mum, yeah, she didn't cry. I think she was just very shocked and trying to process what just went on in that last like 2 minutes.
It is a shock. It really is. And I think I imagine for our parents as well, they're thinking, what? This is my baby. Yeah. This is our girl. Why? This can't be happening. And I think, yeah, no one really expects that for their family member to have had cancer.
Yeah.
Had you guys had experience with other people in your family having cancer? Or have you been through this before?
Yeah, my nana actually passed away 4 years ago with esophagus cancer. Yeah, so seeing her go through that was really tough. And then I think we were all just kind of getting over that, and then this kind of happens. So, I think just seeing what she went through and then thinking this is what I'm about to go through.
It is scary, yeah. And I think that's the unknown, isn't it, is that you have no idea what you're about to walk into. But this is not going to be fun. This is not how we expected to be spending the year.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And so what sort of treatment did you need to have for the cervical cancer?
So I was given 5 rounds of chemo. So I was given cisplatin, and I was given 25 rounds of external radiation and 4 rounds of internal radiation.
Yeah. And so was that all this year, or when?
So I started my treatment on the 24th of August last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like anniversary time at the moment.
Yeah. So I think 12th of October, that's when I had my last treatment out of the whole lot. So it's coming up fast.
Oh, wow. What was treatment like for you? What was that having chemo like? and was it challenging? Because I'm always intrigued by other people's experiences of chemo and what the experience was, whether they had terrible, one of those amazing people who could be like, I was jogging every day in between.
Oh, I wish I was doing that, but I was not one of those ones that could go jogging. For me, like, I think the toughest would have been the radiation. That really hit me with the teeth. Chemo, I think that went fine. I just hated having the chemo taste in my mouth for at least 4 days of the week. And then I could finally eat, but then it was my next round of chemo again. So I really hated that because I just actually wanted to eat. But yeah, I pretty much just suffered with just feeling and suffered with bad diarrhea. But yeah, I think it went pretty okay. But yeah, just pretty much just rested as much as I could.
So no jogging, because I was completely grounded by chemo. And so I'm always intrigued by anyone who can get and do anything beyond, a little shuffle up the road.
Yeah, like I tried to, like in my, that's the one thing I hated was that in my mind mentally, I knew I could do things, but my body was just like, nah, you're not doing it.
I sometimes think as well, I don't know what it was like for you, but sometimes that mental stuff is harder than the physical. Yeah, your body does really go through hell in a lot of ways. But it's like the mental fatigue or the fear or the anxiety or just knowing that you have this process to go through and that it's so unknown, that's challenging.
Definitely when it came to going to appointments, that would always make me kind of panic and start to freak out. Am I going to find out like good news or bad news? And I always thought the worst. Every time I was walking into that office to talk to the doctor, I always thought the worst.
Yeah. Have you had that since as well? Do you struggle at all now with going to doctor's appointments?
Not now. So since after having treatment, I got to go and do 3 monthly checkups. So before I got given the news that I was cancer-free, I was struggling a lot going to those appointments. They didn't really tell you much, if that makes sense. Like, you walk in there and it's like, oh, you know, you're going to tell me something good. But then they don't. They always ask me, like, how are you okay? And give me something. And especially after doing, like, a scan, tell you nothing really.
It's the worst, isn't it?
I'm like keeping the secret, they're just keeping this little secret, like waiting to build it up, and then they'll hit you out of nowhere.
You know, you can just tell me, you can see the screen.
See that thing behind you, just explain in like normal language, what is that?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my god. I've been talking a lot recently with other guests about how we recover and heal from cancer. And I guess this is probably because this is where I'm at in terms of my post-treatment recovery and things. And I shared before that I really struggled. That first year after treatment ended was really challenging. And in some ways, it was harder than even going through treatment, because I guess when we go through treatment, we've got doctor's appointments and all of those things that kind of keep us on a path, I guess. And then you're signed off or given the stamp of approval and sent on your merry way. And I just had no idea how to put everything back together again, you know, how to process what had happened or how to readjust to life. And so I've been really, talking to people about what has healing meant for you, whether that's physically or emotionally, spiritually, what does that mean? So I'm curious of what has your experience been? How has life changed or hasn't it changed?
To be honest, I finished up treatment on a Thursday and I went straight back to work on the Monday. I had enough of seeing my lounge, the hospital, like that's the only places I got to see over that course of treatment. I just wanted to get out and be back to normal kind of thing. It has been tough. Like for me, I've noticed that my body definitely feels a lot older than what it is. Like I feel very, normally like a normal day at work before treatment was I'll bounce back the next day, but it takes me a lot longer to bounce back. I find myself really tired by the end of it. And then still struggling with lower abdominal pains and that, like, still worries me. But, you know, the doctor said that's okay. That's due to the radiation. It's just damage. So, you know, and we asked them, is that going to ever go away? And it might not ever go away. So adjusting to those pains. Mentally, now that the waiting of hearing if I need to do treatment again and being cancer free, I've been doing a lot better, but I still do have days where it just hits me like crap. Like, I just went through all of that. I never really had that time to stop and actually reflect and feel everything that I wanted to feel when going through treatment, because during treatment you just go into fight mode. All you want to do is just fight. Yeah, so I'm slowly getting there, but yeah, as for my body, like physically, yeah, no, at least adding 20 years.
Oh man, yeah, gosh, I relate to that totally. Because I mean, you're a young, fit person, yeah, and then you get grounded by this experience is really hard to go through. And I know for me that that's been the same, where it's so frustrating not to be that, strong or have that fitness or that. And I can assure you that it does actually get a bit better, because I know now I don't get as tired. And that first year or two afterwards, absolutely. And I'd go back to work and then come home and, yeah, that was it. I couldn't do much else. But that does your regress back to being a 28-year-old woman. What's it been like for your family and friends to go through that with you? Has it changed any of your relationships at all?
No, it hasn't changed one bit. They've all stuck by me throughout this whole thing. If anything, it made us stronger. It's really sad to think something like that can bring some people stronger in a way. Like, I don't know, like just the thought of you could lose this person in an amount of time kind of thing.
Yeah. So
you try and push it all together in those months, but then you get the great news of done and dusted. So like, if anything, it brought us all a lot. My workmates there, the classes workmates then, and now pretty much my family. Yeah.
There's I will link the interview in the show notes for this episode, because my partner and I, we'd only been together for about 6 months before I was diagnosed with cancer. And so it was quite a huge thing to go through. And so I understand that pressure on a relationship. And what really struck me when I was watching that was your partner. Yeah, he just seemed to handle it so gracefully. And, you know, when he talks about what partners can be thinking about and talking about, you just have to step up and look after them and see what does she need and things. And I think that's such a strong and gorgeous message for partners of someone going through cancer, is that, you know, it's okay to feel sad and it's okay to feel scared for your partner, but also here are some ways that you can support them. And I thought, God, that's such a good message for people.
Yeah. No, he was amazing for the whole thing.
Yeah.
He still, like, he came with me to my point. We were actually in level two. So he came with me, and yeah, him and my mum were actually both amazing. But he, just because with our children, he had to make sure that they were okay as well, not only just me.
Yeah.
But he done the best that he could. And I could see it was hurting him, but he just wouldn't break in front of me, or even though I could see it on his face.
Yeah. Like,
you need to go have a cry or something.
I guess that's one of the challenging things for people as well, is you're still mum through having cancer. And what's that like? I mean, so that's probably a stupid question. It's probably because I don't have children. I just know that, you never stop being mum, no matter whether you're sick or well. Or was it challenging to go through that and need to make sure your kids are okay? And
that was a tough one. I think if anything, that would have been the hardest part of actually the whole entire journey. Just breaking the news to them, that was hard. I went to open my mouth to tell them, and I just couldn't say it to them. So my partner grabbed my hand for them for me. But trying my hardest to still be a mum, but if anything, it was more them helping me, and that was hard. like, were days where I couldn't get off the couch.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have to ask them, like, I was relying on them and I didn't like it, but it's the only time that they would never fight back with me.
One of the things that I've really noticed this year, I think especially when, you know, our MP Karitapu Allen was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and it certainly, I know I had been putting my smear test off. I will freely admit that I had put it off well over 6 months. And I think for me, it was a lot of it is now is I get a lot of anxiety around tests. No matter what it is, I think once you've had, you know, an irregular anything and then it's turned out to be cancer, it's always, a bit hard. But it definitely motivated me to go and get it checked out because she was so honest and open about her experience. Have you found that being open about your experience has inspired other people, or are you that person now that's, have you had?
At first I was the go get it done, but like I was open with everyone pretty much from the get-go about it. I was a person that would put it off. It wasn't important enough to do it. Like it's like, if it's only 10 minutes, I'll book it for another day. I've got other things to do kind of thing, and then I'd forget. But now, after doing that, I'd rather go and get the smear done than having to go through all of that that not want anyone else to go through.
No. Yeah, I think you've made a really good point. And I actually think this is a message that a lot of women, and especially people that are parents, need to hear, is that your health is so damn important. It is important enough to make that appointment, see if someone can look after the kids if that's what you need, and go and get those checks done, whether it's your yearly smears or is it 3 years? I don't know. Get your smears done, get your mammograms done, or get things checked out. And I know one of the things with some people is that they may have had a bad doctor's experience, or they might feel dismissed or can't talk to that person. And I really encourage people to go to someone else.
Find someone that you like and just try and keep booking them with that same person. If they're not in that day, then book them for the day that I've seen that you can actually ask for a smaller curriculum. If you ever had discomfort from before, you can even ask for that. Taking your friend with you.
Yeah.
You know, have a good girlfriend chat before you go in the room. Yeah. Just little things like that. Just to help you get in there and get
it. Yeah, absolutely. And I think those two messages are so important, that A, you are important, and that your health is it should be a priority. And I think that what I notice with people who are parents is that they can put themselves second. And I think when it comes to our health, that needs to be priority. And because I think a lot of people with doctors, like, oh, they're the doctor, they are up on a pedestal. Yeah. It's like, if they are not listening to you, go to someone else. Because I actually think we are often more the experts on our bodies. We know what's wrong. And I think, especially with the gynae cancers, some of those symptoms can be brushed aside as, oh, that's normal for women to have pain.
Yeah, when I was going back and forth about my symptoms and that, the first doctor actually kind of brushed me off and told me to carry on what I was told by the first doctor that I seen. And then as it got worse and worse, I went to and seen another doctor. And she just said, oh, no, you're constipated, and gave me laxatives. But I told her, like, I'm doing fine. They just brush it off. So I just went back to the nurse practitioner, actually. I went back to her, and she knew that something wasn't right, and she was pushing for these things to be done. So, I pretty much just listening to finding that someone that will listen.
Yeah. Absolutely. It is such an important message, that you push. You knew that you weren't constipated. You knew that it wasn't normal as such. And for anyone who's new listening, my story is slightly different, but also similar, where I found a lump and I went to a doctor. It wasn't my normal GP, I want to point out, because she is amazing all over anything. But the doctor I saw at the emergency clinic was just like, oh, you've probably got non-lactating mastitis. Because I don't have children, and the lump might be, I don't know, an abscess or a cyst. And so there was no there really was no, I guess, urgency or anything like that about going and getting it checked out. And I'm so glad I did, because I had very aggressive breast cancer. And there was something in my gut, or yeah, my intuition, that said, you need to keep pushing and going and getting this checked. And so that's always something that I push for, is for people, you're never too young. And yeah, you are so damn important to keep pushing if you need an answer.
Yeah, you definitely, especially when you get to the point where we have, when our body tells us, gives us a feeling that it's something like to push, keep pushing until you get the answer that you feel is right in your heart, really. Don't stop at their first doctor when they tell you something and then your symptoms or whatever get worse. Just keep pushing until you get that answer that you feel is the right answer.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It has been so cool to be able to talk to you and hear more about your story. What is your advice to people now that you have been through this cancer experience, which I hope you wish no one had to go through? What are your main pieces of advice now if someone is facing cancer treatment or a cancer diagnosis?
Keep thinking positive throughout the whole thing. Yeah, you're going to have some really bad and down days. Feel those days. Don't try and block them off. Take on that emotion and everything. Listen to your body for sure. If your body says rest, rest. Don't try and overdo it. And just take in all the help. Accepting all the help. That was a hard thing for me. I'm more of one that would help and give myself. So actually receiving that from everyone, like that was hard. So take on the help that everyone's willing to give you. Just be open. You can try and let them know that you're having like a bad day, and just little things like that. They're trying to give you so much help, and sometimes it's overwhelming. You are able to tell them, like, you're having a bad day now, just a little bit. It's all very wow.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. People are well meaning, but sometimes a bit full on.
Yeah. So, yeah, all the ones that are like, yeah, going through it, just those little tips. But people that are facing the whole being diagnosed, yeah, don't think that it's okay. Is your chance to fight. Just fight that you can, and allow your family and your loved ones to be there for you. And you're not alone. There's a lot of support groups out there that can help you with whatever your diagnosis is. So there definitely is a lot of help out there. Here. And give it all you got, really. You know, you've got a lot of people backing you.
Keep fighting. It's very true. And it is. I think some people, when they hear cancer, they instantly think, oh my God, I'm going to die. And it doesn't have to mean a death sentence at all. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for being a guest. Thank you for sharing your story. It is so amazing to talk to someone else who has been through this experience and can share that insight. I think it's so powerful to be able to give that gift to people.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. The C Word Kiwis Talk About Cancer is every Sunday at 11:55 a.m. on Auckland's 104.6 Planet FM, and anytime at www.planetaudio.org.nz/thecword.